On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we have a superstar in the studio, a Commonwealth champion, no less. And she's back in the ring fighting again this weekend. Of course, you all know Nina Bradley's with us. Not Fast Dave returns after his week off, and Tony looks back at last night's big football match. And proud father Simon Wainwright talks about a wonderful season for son Harry. It's going to be a busy one, and these are your headlines. Newark Flowserve moved into the last eight of the East Midlands League Cup with a rousing second half performance in front of another big and boisterous Lowfields crowd. There's only one jammy dodger. Where did that come from? Four from Tizer and Sam Agar with his customary one doing the damage. Sports show favourite Stacey Atkins ran the Rutland 10K on Friday evening. Fast car to Leeds for their park run less than 12 hours later. There's dedication for you. Newark Tennis Club's mixed first team had a great start to their winter season in Division 7. The first pair of Sam Smith and Zara Jackson won, and success was mirrored by Adrian and Steph Smith and James Black and Sue Tomlin, giving them a 58-50 win over those posh people from the park. Fernwood saw Club's Arthur Eakin was in action at the Newham Leon Paul Junior Series competition. London to me and you. Competing in the under-13s men's foil, even though he's still only 11. So a mid-table finish, a very creditable result. Radio Newark Sports favourite Amber Owens represented the Mount Olive University at the NCAA Division 2 South East Regional Cross Country Championships at Grainesville. That's apparently in North Georgia in US of A. She finished 72nd out of 154 and helped her team into 4th place out of 23. But bad news from the Carl Greaves student... Bad news from the Carl Greaves stable, with his star man Sam Bullet Brown having to withdraw from his British title defence against Ronnie Clark due to a rib injury sustained during sparring. I hope it wasn't Nina Bradley that hit him. Southall City's Notts Senior Cup match at Selston will take place on Wednesday the 5th of December. 24 hours before that, Collingham travel to Gedling. And yes, we're still waiting to find out when Flowserve are going to Stapleford. Or somewhere. And from the world of sport, Scotland clinched a Euro 2020 playoff place in the Nations League after a dramatic night against Israel at Hampden. And the man to tell us all about that in a couple of minutes is our new European football expert. So that's where we'll begin, because he's busy telling me he's been doing some homework. He actually sat in this studio and ridiculed the Nations League no more than a week, 10 days ago.
No, it's the greatest competition in the land.
Now he's looked into it a little bit. I think you've probably changed your mind a bit, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, now that Scotland are actually winning, because I was in the Jubilee Club last night after we finished the Flowserve game.
Later?
Well, yeah. But I said to Zoe, I've got some bad news. She said, what? I said, the telly's bust. Look, Scotland have won, it says up there. But, yeah, great competition. I've always said that, you know, we'd conquer Europe one day.
OK, right, that's the rubbish out of the way. Now let's have the serious bit.
Well, basically, I've been looking into this UEFA Nations League, and in Group A, the teams in Group A, they go through to the semi-finals of the four-team tournament, which is England, the host Portugal, Switzerland and Holland, and the draw for the semi-finals to see who plays who between June the 5th and June the 9th takes place on December the 3rd. That's when the draw is. And that's when the draw will also be made for the European Championship groups. But the four teams who go through to the finals of the inaugural Nations League will play in groups of five in the European Championships qualifiers. Scotland have qualified for a semi-final playoff against Finland. And then if they win, they play in the playoff final for a place in the European Championships in 2020.
I mean, there's two or three things that, to me, come out of this. One, a competitive match in any sport is better than a meaninglessly friendly. So I'm all in favour of it, that. And they're actually trying to match countries to a level country, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you haven't got these massive, great mismatches and stupid results and matches that, you know, don't mean anything. So you're getting closer matches. And yes, with the top four going through to these finals in Portugal, those four are expected to qualify in their own right for the European Championship. But for teams like Scotland, there's almost a backdoor entry into the European Championships.
Well, yeah, I mean, there has been criticism in the European hierarchy about the fact that these minnows are getting in, but it's the only way that the likes of Scotland and the Isle of Wight are going to play in, you know, sort of summer tournaments. Because it's been 20 years since Scotland have qualified for either the World Cup or the European Championships, and, you know, if that's the only way they can go there, I mean, I know I'm biased, but I think Scotland have got, by universal consent, the best supporters in the world. I mean, they've had nothing to celebrate full stop. But the support and the numbers they get, and they're all paralysed but well behaved.
So it's the top two in these leagues that get to the World Cup and the European Championships, isn't it? Really, 3, 4, and 5 are just making up the numbers, aren't they? Nine times out of 10.
But it's the chance for the Tartan Army to go to, you know, a summer tournament and really sort of have a whale of a time. And also the home nation, whoever it is, each season will also have a whale of a time playing host to them.
Okay, well, I think that's a plus, the European nations.
Yeah, but I mean,
it is a plus.
The biggest plus of all is that it's been brought in so that international football teams don't play meaningless friendlies that are just basically a cash raiser and nobody gets any benefit out of it whatsoever. And what happened at Wembley on
Thursday
was just absolutely fantastic, because not only was it
Thursday was the Wayne Rooney one, I thought you meant that.
Oh, no.
Sunday.
But on Sunday, not only was it a fantastic result against the team that beat England in the semi-finals of the World Cup, but it was also a fantastic atmosphere, primarily children-based, and everybody going, go on England, and getting home on the tube at God knows what in the morning, thinking, blooming heck, that were great. And how long is it since we've said that about an England match?
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And just to finish off that, just in case you missed it, listeners, the communications officer at Newark FlowServe did say that Scotland have the best football supporters, I'm putting your mic down, the best football supporters in the world. So all you 164 that was out there getting absolutely soaked, singing your heads off last night, he don't think you're as good as Scotland supporters. Just thought I'd make that point. He said that, not me. Moving on, before he gets a chance to reply. a few weeks ago, we found in Newark that we've got ourselves a Commonwealth champion, and she's no stranger to this studio, but I think now it's time to find out how this has sunk in, because, you know, oh, what do you do? Oh, I box. Oh, that's fair enough. Oh, so what level? Well, I'm a Commonwealth champion. It's just a little... Well, it's not. It's a hell of a way, isn't it? It's, you know, it stops the conversation stone dead. So, Nina Bradley, welcome back to Radio Newark Sport. I want to say, has it sunk in first, but has it changed your life? What's it like? I mean, you know, you are now, you've gone up 2, 3, 4 brackets in this.
I wouldn't say it's changed my life. I'm still what I was, you know, before we won the Commonwealth. It is a massive step up. It changes everything on so many different levels. You know, now we've struggled to get a fight. We've tried to get fights in, and we've struggled for fights for this show. But, you know, it has sunk in. But you still, when you look at I sit there and look at my belt, sometimes I think, you know, wow, you know, what a what a belt to have and what a belt it is. It's absolutely, it's gorgeous.
The picture on the back page of the Newark Advertiser was probably the best picture of the moment of realisation. It's not just sunk in that, it's sunk in at that moment in the ring. And that is...
This is the one I've used today. Yeah. When you're on your knees.
On my knees.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that picture, if a picture could tell 1,000 words, it is honestly, in my 30 years' experience, the best picture I've ever seen on the back page of the Advertiser. Unbelievable.
We've talked about your boxing. I want to, just for 5 minutes now, I want to talk about you. Are you a Newark girl?
No, I'm originally from Boston. Boston, born and bred. I moved to Newark 5 years ago, this month it would have been. It's one of them that I was tempted to move home, but I've sort of like fled the nest and, you know, I do it on my own. It's hard at times. I'm a single parent. You know, my son is 10 years old. I've got no family up here. All my family are in Boston. So it's hard at times. And like Carl says, he hands it to me every time. I go to work, leave work, I go to the gym, I leave the gym, I pick my son up from school. And it is not easy. You're back in the gym at night time. What I do is not easy. And, you know, if I can be a little inspiration to anybody and say, anything you put your mind to, you can do it.
I mean, everybody knows who listens to this show. My daughter is also a single parent and she lives in Newcastle and she's bringing up two boys. One's 13 and one. And I take my hat off to you because I know it's... It's not like mum and dad's just round the corner.
No.
You have got to figure out your life down to the minute. And it must be... you've even gone even higher now. You're my very best, you're my very bestest favourite now. You've even gone...
I've got the ticket, sure up.
in the admiration states on this one. So what's your son think to a boxing mother?
You know, he has... Oh, bless him. He has different views. He's coming to this one. Usually when they've been at Leicester and stuff, he hasn't come. He didn't come to my car, I've told. Part of me wanted him to because I was very confident I was going to win. And just to have him there and jump in the ring and, you know, be able to say, that's my mum. But at the same time, it was a big step up. It was 10 rounds of that was going to be war. She weren't coming all the way from Tanzania not to try and beat
not
me.
Not to make up the numbers.
Exactly. She was unbeaten, and I knew that, you know, there could be a head clash, there could be cuts, there could be blood. I didn't want him to see it. So he is going to come to this next one. What does he think of it? At times when I'm dragging him to the gym or it's training all the time, mum's moody, mum's mardy because she's hungry and she can't eat because she's making weight and he's got to eat chicken and rice with me. Does he like it? No, he doesn't. But afterwards, when he goes on holiday or he gets rewards, and I'll always make sure that he's grateful for what I've done. And I'll give it to him, he is. So when he's got the belts on his shoulder...
I bet he's had some fun at school, though, hasn't he? Look at what I've got. Look who my mum is.
I think that's a bit he likes. He likes a bit where he goes, do you know who my mum is?
Yeah, exactly. It's not, I'll get my dad on.
Do you know where my mum is? In your wildest dreams, though, when you sort of went down to Carl, just probably to do a bit of training and a bit of fitness, and how long have you been boxing?
It's been 8 years now, from amateur, back in Boston. In them 8 years, I've probably had two out, like, all together. And then I've been with Carl, it'll be 2 years in April. It's about a year and a half. So in a year and a half, this is my seventh professional fight coming up. I've got the International Challenge belt and we've just won the Commonwealth title. It's not bad, is it? So let's make it 7-0 on Sunday and I think we've got some big plans for next year.
This is the best interview I've ever done with a Commonwealth champion because the first one I did was when Ishan Pickering came into the Advertiser with his Commonwealth belt. And he had a duffel coat on. He just he looked like Paddington with a belt round his neck.
But he never said that.
No, but I went...
He is now.
I went one worse than that. Because I said to him in an interview, we're this far apart and there's a dictaphone in the middle on the table. And I said, where did... Because he won with a knockout in the eighth round. And I said, where did that come from then? Because you haven't got a punch. And the way he just looked at me, I very hurriedly rearranged the question because we've been mates for ages. But you don't ask a Commonwealth boxing champion whether he's got a punch or not. It was a very bad line. It's probably the low point of my journalistic career.
I went the other night to Farndon for Dean Sugden's amateur boxing club, and there was a couple of young girls boxing for the first time, and of course Megan Williams was there, even though she's injured at the moment. This ladies boxing thing is getting big.
It is. It's in the amateurs it's booming, and in the pros, I think in England now, I think we've moved up to about 30 professional boxers now. When I started, I think there was about nine of us. So yeah, it is, and it's going to keep booming because we're getting recognised now. We're getting put on the TV shows. We're getting spoke about. Well, my friend from London, she's just, she did a bit of talking across Twitter, a bit of keyboard warrior stuff.
But she's a cockney, she would do.
We've got to do it.
Yeah.
We've got to do
it. Got to get
and
there.
Clarissa Shields didn't have an opponent because Lady Hammer was injured or unwell. And because Hannah had recently took Lady Hammer's side, the fight got done. So she's just flown over to Kansas this weekend, had the fight against Clarissa Shields. Wow. Okay, she lost. She didn't get knocked out. She had a fight with Clarissa Shields, pound for pound, one of the best female boxers in the world. And she's just been out there and got called out to fight her. Do you know what I mean? It is becoming, it is booming. I've still got a few years left in me, but good luck to these young girls that are just getting into it. And if I can get a bit more inspiration for them to keep going, it's going to be a big thing.
We're going to talk about Sunday in a few minutes. I've also been trawling Facebook and Twitter and everything, and I've got something that you've said. On social media.
Who was it about?
So you actually. So we're gonna say that.
That's for me, no?
We're gonna say that just after half past seven.
I've got to go now.
Before that, Dave Farger and unfortunately, Tony Smith. Okay, it's to the telephone lines, and last week we gave Dave a well-earned week off, so he's got a lot to talk about tonight because he's got 2 weeks to catch up on, because I tried to do it and made a complete mess of it. So the expert himself, Dave Farger, and all the not-fast news. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and nice to hear you back on the airwaves.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really call it a well-earned week off last week. It was just a week off.
Okay, and then fire away then. Wait, what have you got to tell me this week?
Yeah, so I'll cover this week first, because it's closer in the memory. Not a huge deal this week. We had quite a few members at the park runs, 46 different members over 6 different park runs. PBs for Janet Davis, Rebecca Lax, Paula Dowling and Joanne Boddy. Now, we had a lot of members over the park runs. It was Damien Davis's 200th park run. Really good results. Really good result from him. 200 park runs is no mean feat. To be able to do it every week 200 times is insane, right? It's a lot. And then on Sunday we had 8 members in Hina taking part in the Hilly Matthew Walker Christmas Pudding 10K. First back for our club was Jane Weeway in 54 minutes, followed by Angela Brown, 56 minutes 13, Annette Taylor in 59 minutes 47, John Millett in 1 hour 1.13, Andy Floyd 1 hour 8.12, Sue Needham in 1 hour 8.34, Steve Needham 1 hour 8.14, and Claire Simmons in 1 hour 23.02. That's pretty much it for the last week. Now, the previous week, obviously, I wasn't able to report last week. But again, not that much, really. It's coming into the winter months. People aren't really running as much. long distance walking last week. Stuart Ashley was at the... I'm having to rack my memory here because I'm not reading it at the minute. Give me a few seconds, Mick, and I'll get it up for you.
It was in the Peak District, wasn't it?
It was in the Peak District, but I can't remember where.
It was about 9 hours, I know that much.
Yeah, 26 miles in 9 hours. Mm. I can't remember the exact location, though.
It's not actually a stroll either, is it?
It's not, no.
It's it's actually somewhere I'd not heard of in the Peak District, to be honest. It was a name that didn't ring a bell.
I think it was Biggin. Something
that was, exactly, like, yes, and yeah. I didn't know where that was, but I assume there's hills involved.
It was Six Dales Challenge, here we go, starting and finishing in Biggin, so 26 miles in 9 hours. So like I say, there's not that much happening of late. We're coming to the end of the running season, just before the cross-country kicks in the new year. Got a couple of races lined up over the next couple of weeks. Now there's Edwin Stowe 10K on the 2nd of December. And this Sunday coming, is the Clumber Park Trust 10K, which is a fantastic course for everyone, really. It's free of charge at Clumber Park. You can just turn up on the day, you do one every month, and just have a run of 10K. So you don't really need to be a committed runner if you want to just go and dip your toe in a 10K race.
And we're not far off the Bacon Butty run, are we?
I don't know when that is next year. It's early in the year.
I know it's coming up. It's coming up soon, and I know Not Fast celebrate Christmas. That's I always look forward to what they're up to over Christmas. Dave, thank you so much.
Pleasure, Mick. Pleasure.
And as ever, but it gets a bit slack. But we'll still find something to talk about because we do love our Wednesday night chat. So we'll talk to you again next week.
Lovely, thank you, Mick.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Cheers.
Bye. Dave Farger there with all the Not Fast news, and with 160 something brave souls last night, I went down to Lowfields thinking there'll be one man and his dog watching this football match. There wasn't. There was a massive, great crowd, and Tony, I've got no doubt, will pay tribute to those. But I have been watching Flowserve, I would suggest, for probably 50 years under Wormington Simpsons, IDP, and all different names. But I think it's 50 years that I've been going to Lowfields, at least. I'm going to push it. It's 55 years, because I started with Father that long ago. It really was. And I've seen some great football matches. I've seen some great players, and I've seen some great teams. I really, really have. But I've never, ever heard the crowd singing and chanting. And I've never seen players run over to the crowd to be hugged. And I've never seen one do a backflip. Tony, tell me about last night.
Well, the club staff were a bit dubious. We were very, very disappointed about the weather because we'd just passed the 250 mark for the first time ever with the league match against Barrow on Saturday. And there were 253 for that one, and we all thought, well, we've wiped the floor with Barrow on Saturday in the league. They're back again in the cup. They haven't got a cat and nails chance. People aren't going to come and watch a mismatch once again, and it's freezing, and it's throwing it down. And, you know, we're just not going to get a crowd, which is so disappointing because we got such a massive crowd. Saturday was such a massive bonus to the club. And 164 people turned up and got drenched and sang their heads off all night and blew the vuvuzelas or whatever. And the Lowfields Barmy Army had a song for just about every player last night, and it was just unbelievable. It was like a carnival in a terrible, terrible conditions. It was just unbelievable.
Right, credit to Barrow first, because it was 0-0 at half time, and to be honest, there was nothing to choose between the teams.
No, both sides made very few changes. I mean, we put Yinker in goal, Yinker Adeboli in goal, as opposed to Joe Searson. We left out Jack Beckett because he was on four yellows.
He's been on four yellows for a month.
Yeah, but I mean,
you've got to play him sooner or later.
I think with the game we've got coming up on Saturday against Sherwood Collar, it was probably a very good move. But
anyway, 30 seconds into the second half.
30 seconds into the second half, Tizer did what Tizer does, and fantastic shot went in off the right-hand post. and the goalkeeper was like the rest of us, just watching. And then it sparked Flo Serve into life.
Went from there, and we ended up with Tizer scoring four and Sam Agar scoring
four.
On. But I'm going to end it on, you know, I'm sorry, but there's only one Jammy Dodger. No.
At the start of the show, you said Sam Agar got his customary one goal. Well, Sam has got... If Sam had got a hat-trick last night, it would have been his third successive. It'd have
Can't
been
build
a
him
hat-trick
too
of
much.
Hat-tricks.
I'll build him up. I'll build them all up if they come back with 3 points from Sherwood.
Sam's 33 years old, and somebody last night said, oh, wish he was 23. I said, if he was 23, he wouldn't be here, mate.
I was thinking of... And we'll chat to one of the old football guys who know more than me, but the greatest ever centre-forward to grace that Lowfields pitch. And this is one, you know, Sam hasn't been there very long yet, so... But at the minute, Sam Agar, Gary Breeden, Tony Craig, George Bauer. I'm sure people out there will give me some more names, but Sam's already in that top echelon bracket. Different eras of football.
But when Millie and Boothie, Millie Coulter and Steve Booth, started their chants for the supporters, they've sponsored him. And it was basically, he's got nowhere, we don't care, Sammy Agar. And Sam ran across to them and celebrated with them.
And that's lovely to see.
And then last night, they seemed to have a chant for everybody. Tizer ran across and celebrated with them as well. And the Lowfields Barmy Army seems to be growing in number because Millie and Boothie are attracting more people around them. And it is just absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to stop him there because if I'm not careful, he's going to start singing these songs, and then that'd be the end of this show. Trust me, you do not want to hear Tony Smith singing. Hundreds of referees have risked being charged with breaching rules by using a rock, paper, scissors protest to support band official David McNamara. The referees used them. The game instead of a coin toss before the grassroots matches over the weekend, and well done to every single one of them. And the English Football League has agreed a controversial new television rights with Sky worth £595 million. The deal, which runs from the start of next season until 2024, is a 35% increase on the previous deal. But guess what? The Championship clubs are not happy with it. They say it undervalues what they do. They're not even in the top league, and they're getting £595 million, and it undervalues. Just come watch a grassroots match.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
OK, we've got to that part in the evening when I've got this saying to read out. This is what Nina Bradley said about Nina Bradley. No one said it would be easy, but it's damn right worth it. The boxing game isn't easy, but you know what a person... But you know what, as a person, it helps me day to day, keeping me focused and determined in life. Bad comes to us all, but life's too short to sit down and dwell. In order to be irreplaceable, one must be different. And I think that's wonderful. I really do think that's wonderful. What said you?
Yeah, well, it's true. You've... If we sat down now and got a handful of different boxers, from women to girls to boys to men, from different life backgrounds, they'll all have a story to tell. Because for me, boxing, it's not a game. It's not a game. And, away from the glitz and glamour that people say, like, to me now, oh, you know, you're in the limelight and people are talking. That part of it does not interest me. It does not bother me. If people weren't talking about me and people weren't, you know, I weren't a Commonwealth champion, I would still go and train as hard as I train, put in the work that I put in, because, like I said there, it helps me. Like, I've always suffered with, like, anxiety. And one of my girls who I trained, she suffers with anxiety. And I used to say to her, just train. When you're having a bad day, just bring it all to the gym and train. And every night after I've had a session, I'll have a week off after this fight. Won't go in the gym at all. I'll be a mess. Forget where my keys are, forget what I'm doing. I've got no structure in life. boxing, it's been my saviour. I've been through crap in my life, but it's been my saviour, 100%. And I guarantee most boxers will tell you the same.
That's why I've kept it, really, because I just think that statement, you can put that up on the wall, because it is absolutely brilliant. Before we start talking about Sunday, back to Tony, because boxing is on your favourite list of sports, isn't it? It's, you know, it's right up there, and you followed boxing all the time that you've been involved in Newark sport.
Yeah.
And did you ever think you was going to sit next to a lady Commonwealth champion?
Be careful.
It's the second time in this studio that I've sat next to a lady guest who has come out with something that is pure radio gold. So profound. That was on a par with Megan Williams talking about how she feels when she gets into a ring, knowing... We talk about this many times, because we should. She was sat with her dad.
Yeah.
And the previous Saturday, a 17-year-old kid had been killed at kickboxing in the ring.
Yeah.
And we said, I gambled and said, I know your dad sat in the corner, but and I know you're only 15 years old or whatever she was at the time. I think she was younger than that. But are you aware that, you know, you might not come out of the ring once you get into it? And she spoke for what seemed like 15 minutes more eloquently about her chosen sport than anybody of any age could have done. And me and Mick were looking at each other and going, don't interrupt this, because wow. And that is the second best ever, what you just said there, because it's so true.
It is true, and I do it every time. My mum doesn't miss a fight. My dad, on the other hand, is one of these old-fashioned guys, doesn't like to come out of the house. He likes to be in comfort of his own home. And when it come to my Commonwealth, I did say to him, you don't turn up, I'll never speak to you again. And me and my dad had some times, you know, he brought us up tough. Huh. You know, he was tough on all of us. Because of his childhood. But I did say it to him this one time, and I said, I'm going in there, 10 rounds of boxing, 10 rounds of war it will be, to win one of the most prestige titles there is to win.
Yeah.
I said, and if you're stuck in Boston when everyone's in Leicester and anything happens to me, you'll never ever forgive yourself. I said, because when it does happen and they get rushed off to hospital and you're in a coma, that's probably the last time you're going to see me. Yeah. I said, if it's to happen, I said, that's why I asked you to be there. Don't ask you to be there because I want you to buy tickets or I want you... It's nothing to do with that. I want you to be there because it happens and we've all seen it happen.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in the boxing, the young lad from Mansfield Ways. Might be the same lad that Megan was on about.
Could possibly be, yeah.
I was there. I watched him... I literally was sat there, and as he fell forward through the ropes, I just saw that look on his face. I'll never, ever forget it.
Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous sport. You know, I mean...
And that was in amateur boxing. That was amateur. Yeah. Got head guards on.
Yeah.
The fight had come to the end. The ref was holding both the hands, and he went to literally raise the lad's hand who won, and the other lad just... His legs just went.
Yeah.
And he fell through the ropes, and I was like, what's up with him?
Yeah.
Because he looked fine. He looked absolutely fine.
But I mean, in football, in cricket, in sort of in golf, you name it. You know, I mean, you're not expecting not to come out of there. But in boxing, there's a very good chance, isn't there? I mean, you go in there, and you know, I mean,
I always tell my son on a day of a fight, whether he's coming or not, I always say, just remember, your mum loves you. That's the only thing I say to him, and I don't put it any other way because I don't want him to think about it or. Why she said that, so that's all I ever say.
Yeah.
So they're the last words I say to him, whether he's there or whether he's not there. When he's there, he usually walks out of me, so he was walking out of the belt this time.
Yeah.
Of course he should.
It must be very scary for your opponents knowing you've got someone that determined in the other corner.
I don't know if they read my stuff. I don't know if they look at my, you know, but I always try and keep it.
If they do, they won't turn up, kid.
Try and keep it positive. And like I say, all my little quotes, a lot of them are from my heart. It's what I feel, how I feel. And like I say, if I can just inspire one person or boost one person's day every day, then that I'm happy with that.
I mean, there's a wonderful thing is happening these days, that people are so willing to talk about mental awareness. And the best ever show we've ever done, we spoke about mental awareness for 59 minutes, very, very seriously, and very, very serious topics. And 58 minutes of that show was pure laughter.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. And I walked to the car park with Mick afterwards, and I said, that is going to help so many people. I'm so proud to have been part of that show.
That I always say with people with mental illness. My sister, a few of my sisters suffer with mental illness. One of them, on the back page of the avatars, I think they put in, you'll see me on my knees, the picture was took from behind, and there's a blonde-haired girl cuddling me, that's my sister. A week after that, she took overdose, and she was in a coma. Now, you look at that picture there, how emotional, how happy she was, the most proudest day of her life, as she described it, and a week later, I'm visiting her in a coma, because she couldn't cope with life no more.
Yeah.
People need to understand mental health, illness, because so many people cover it up. And this is why I try and say, don't have to be boxing, but boxing is one hell of a thing to use in the gym. And that's why I try and push it out there a bit.
Yeah. But there's absolutely no doubt at all that, you know, the people with mental illness, mental problems, like sort of anxiety attacks and depression and what have you. I'm not a doctor, but the endorphins and the sort of adrenaline and the massive buzz you get from pushing yourself in any exercise, it really, really helps, doesn't it? I mean, it just really sort of turns people's life around.
Yeah, what it is for me, the gym, like you say, it releases all them endorphins, the happy endorphins. You come out the gym feeling, even a run. You've had a stress fade, go for a run. Even if you don't like running, and you do a run, walk. Be out of the house for 20, 25 minutes. I'm telling you now, there's nothing better than running in the rain.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It makes me feel magical. When I have to do my runs, if it's raining, I love it. Wrap up, but I love it. And honestly, you know, for mental health, exercise, and I'll keep saying it. People who struggle with anxiety, with stress, with depression, exercise, and it helps you sleep, you're tired.
Yeah, exactly.
It helps everything.
Well, I mean, I'm too old to do exercise anymore. And my knees are knackered because I used to do an awful lot of long distance running, but now
sit you on a chair.
No, because it was all on concrete, now my knees are knackered. But I was having mental, you know, sort of stress. I was having sort of anxiety attacks. And tonight it's 6 weeks since I gave up drinking completely. And I am sleeping like a log.
Yeah.
And plus every day is, wow, let's get up. You get up in the morning, not sort of...
Sometimes all it takes is just to tweak something.
Exactly. But
just a tweak.
But like, sort of, like I used to get out of bed and go, oh my God. But now I get out of bed like Tigger, and it's fun, and every day is a buzz. And it's just from doing little things in your life, as you say, it makes an awful lot of difference to the...
Sometimes all it takes is just that little tweak. And like at the minute for me, I'm ready to have a break. I did 10-week big camp, I had a big fight, I had only 2 weeks off and I was back in camp. I'm ready to have a break. I'm going to have a month off. I'll still be doing my runs and my weight training, but boxing-wise, I'll have that month off. And we'll start fresh January, and we've got a big year next year.
Brilliant.
You know, there are times when you just rip the script up and, you know, I've just sat back and listened to you two for the best part of a quarter of an hour, and I've been absolutely fascinated.
We have a script?
Yeah,
I didn't even know. I
messed that up, kid.
Absolutely fascinated. We will talk about the fight on Sunday.
Is it a fight?
I'm a fighting, weren't I?
Apparently, so I've got... It's in the script, you've got to. Next up, Simon Wainwright on a fantastic year for Harry. And then we will find out about his fight on Sunday. But I tell you what, when it comes to listening to these podcasts, listen to these two from 7:30 onwards. That was absolutely fascinating. Well, we're having trouble getting hold of Simon Wainwright, so we'll just see if he rings back, and then we'll go straight to his phone call. So, as luck would have it, we've not had that, or what's happening on Sunday. But before we do that, Sam Bullet Brown.
Bowen.
Injured? What happened?
I believe it was in sparring with David Aventia. I believe he's damaged his ribs. We have some sore ribs in the house. I'm not 100% sure on the extent of the injury, but I am aware that he isn't fighting now.
You see, he's not as big a star as you. That's why I got his name wrong. We'll never get your name.
Oh, you know.
We'll never get your name.
Oh, you best not. Bradley.
Well, exactly. It is a bit.
They're like buses, aren't they? You wait for hours and there's two Bradleys at once.
And they're both superstars. Sunday, who are you fighting?
It is Christina Kopinska.
I'm glad you said that.
Local girl.
It's quite a little. She's only in Poland. Yeah, Polish girl. I'm sure that is a name. Yeah, Katrina Kopinska. She's quite well, seasoned. She's had 40 something fights. She's fought the top girls at Katie Taylor's debut. That's who she fought. Obviously, Katie Taylor's like some next level stuff. Mm. She stopped her, I think, in the second round. She's fought Chantal Cameron, Tasha Jonas, Sam Smith. So she's been over here for a lot of the English girls. She's gone the distance with them. And, I mean, Chantal Cameron's a beast. You've got Tasha Jonas, who's a beast. So she's going the distance with them. The fights I've watched, I'm not going in against no
this
amateur.
This is no book, is it?
No. The girls who she's got on her record, and she's gone the distance with them. She's no mug. It's going to be a tough fight. I'm probably going to even edge my bets. It might even be a tougher fight than what my Commonwealth was.
You say she's had 40 fights. It is the ladies' boxing scene in, shall I say, Eastern Europe.
I think, obviously, there wasn't really any English girls, but I think in the foreign country, it has been going on a lot longer. So it's I think that's why it's they're more seasoned. The 60 odd fights, yeah. Some have had 80 odd fights, but I think because over there they've been doing it a lot longer.
How old is she?
Off the top of my head, I'm sure she's 29. So there you go, she's younger than me. But for her to be so seasoned, I say seasoned, she's been in there and she does go the distance a lot. I think she's only been stopped twice.
Well, my interview track record with boxers isn't very good, so how old are you?
Oh, bloody hell.
Which you never ask a woman.
She'd never ask a woman that.
No.
31.
31.
Yeah, getting old.
So, how long have you got in the game?
Well, the women out there, I mean, if you look at them, some of them are like 38, 39, they're still going strong. Me personally, I'm saying I'd probably hang my gloves up at 35. I'm not trying to be out there still doing this. That's another 4 years in the game. Yeah. But let's see where it takes me first.
Yeah. How far do you want to go? World champion?
If I could become a world champion, that is obviously that's anyone who's boxing, that's a dream. Winning the Commonwealth, I never in my life did I think I would own that belt. I remember being in the amateurs and thinking, whoa, look at that belt. it's got all the rainbow colours. I used to think, that's amazing. And now I own one. It's mine forever. Like, that's amazing.
But the I was ringside when Greavesy won his world title in Nottingham. And when the referee had got both the gloves, Greavesy looked down at me and he went, and then thought, how'd it go? And I went, I don't know. And just put my hands together and I went, just pray, God. And when he won it, it was one of the. So
it will be top, amazing. Top, that top for match. Me is, I'd hang my gloves up. That I've done what I wanted to do. I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. But yeah, world title, to be part of a world title, even that big stage.
But what a Newark story for a Newark world champion in Carl Greaves to train a world champion from
like
from
he said
stable.
The other day, he says, wow. She's the only girl that I've ever trained. And then he looked at me and went, and the only girl I will ever train, innit? Boom, boom. I was like, damn right.
He has actually made that comment before, yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's because of hard work or just because we're leaving it as me.
You take it how you like.
Well, I think I can help you out here. His comment to me was, one's enough.
Oh, cheers. I remember that.
Just because he got a desk between you.
I went out the studio to try and get hold of Simon Wainwright. It looks like we have got Simon Wainwright. Let's see if this works.
Nope.
No, it's not working. Okay, we'll try again in a moment. When I left the studio to ring Simon...
Yep.
You was fighting at the showground on...
Sunday.
When I walked back into the studio, you was world champion. What have I missed?
What you're missing is a great interviewing technique, Michael.
So we've gone straight to world champion. Right, do what you're best at and ring that telephone number. And let's see if we can get hold of Simon, because I have promised that we'll try our best to get hold of Simon tonight. It's all good, though, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, it's...
Yeah, this fight,
the life of Nina Bradley...
It's good. I mean, this next fight, there was a planned fight for the 1st of December to fly to Germany. There was a fight with a girl who's in the top 10. They wanted the fight. Not sure what happened, but they then pulled out of the fight. So there was already...
They looked at Twitter.
They might have looked... My fight did go on YouTube, so we're not sure what happened there. But like I say, we're looking at keeping busy. This is a keeping ourselves busy fight. You know, yeah, okay, some people are like, oh, we've just won the title. Are you defending it? It's not always about defending it because there's not always them girls there to defend it against. And for such a big, expensive title, you can't just give it away. So, you know, I've had a sponsor who put that title on the line for me and gave me that opportunity, and it wasn't cheap. So, you know, if you're going to come to defend it, you need to come with a good price. And that's what we kind of, Carl says. And like I said, Carl will always look after us and does look after us. And I couldn't ask for anybody better.
He is, I was going to say he's the reason you're Commonwealth champion, and he probably is. I mean, it's down to your ability, yes, I know, but...
But I wouldn't be as good as I am
with Carl Greaves,
if it wasn't for him.
Yeah. Yeah, right, here we go. Simon, good evening.
Hiya.
Hiya, Simon. We can just about hear you. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here just, yeah.
Yeah, I've got you. Sam, we're running a little bit out of time, so I'm going to shut up and let you tell me about Harry's wonderful season.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, no worries. It was the last round last weekend of the Shenington Kart Championship down in Banbury. It was a good weekend. Unfortunately, the first team starting on the front row... it was a bit damp. He was on slicks and other people were on a kind of a wet tyre. And on the first corner, unfortunately, he got punted off. So that put that heat that was no good. The next heat, he started 28th, 29th and drove through to 16th. So that was a really good race with, I think he was third or fourth fastest lap. And the final, he started 24th and drove through to 15th. Which gave him enough points to seal second place in the championship. So, yeah, all highly delighted. And so, obviously, in January, we'll go to an awards dinner for the evening over in, I think it's Stratford-upon-Avon, and he'll get presented with his second place trophy.
I mean, at the start of the season, I remember you coming in, and both of you coming in and saying, this is going to be difficult, this is going to be hard work, we're not expecting anything.
No,
whatever will happen, but crikey, that's beyond all expectations.
Yeah, by far. Consistency has been the thing. He hasn't had, the points-wise, are worse than a tenth. So he's had a win, a couple of podiums, a couple more podiums. So I think consistency has been the thing. There or thereabouts, scoring points all the time within the top 10, and that's all calculated up to get a lot of points and second overall. So yeah, couldn't have asked more. It's gone brilliantly, really.
And he must be buzzing and can't wait for spring and next season.
Yes, so we've now already entered for we've decided to, we're going to take it up a notch. We're going to go and enter the British Championships next year, which for us is a big, big leap. I'm sure he'll do okay. We won't have any, again, won't have any expectations. And that all kicks off in April, so we'll be just doing plenty of practicing, and we haven't got any more races now until probably January, February, really. So we'll do lots of testing over the winter at like TFI and other places. So yeah, a lot of hard work to crack on with.
Simon, we'll get you both in session before the season starts, because I think we're going to have to follow you two very closely next season.
Good
because
place.
There's a definite star in the making here.
All right, then.
We'll catch it with you both very soon.
Yeah.
Do please give him the congratulations from everybody.
I will do.
In New York Sport.
Lovely. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Simon.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye. And that's another young man to look out for.
Yeah.
Harry Wainwright, the next Lewis Hamilton, without a shadow of a doubt.
Lewis Hamilton started in karting.
Exactly. And this young man's in the national championship next season. So you just got to eat not a lot between now and the weekend then? When's the weigh-in?
Weigh-in's on the day. That's the only bad thing. Quite enjoyed the day before weigh-in. It was nice. Weighed in. Then I ate dinner, ate tea, ate breakfast, ate snacks. not sure what I weighed when I went in the ring, but yeah. But yeah, so obviously I weigh in on the day, and it's only going to be like, what, 2-3 hours before I fight. So I just look forward to eating after. But no, I'm all right. I'm on weight. I'm not starving myself. I'm on weight anyway, and I've stuck around my weight, so... Now Carl's talking about, well, I think we can make lightweight. There's no winning in this game. He's like, well, you've done well. You've kept your weight down, haven't you? Yeah, I've kept, yeah, I'm doing all right, yeah. Yeah, I think we're, yeah, might push for lightweight next year. I think,
it's got to cut down on that rice.
That's down to one lettuce leaf a week. Oh, dear, fantastic. Nina, thank you so much for coming in.
That's fine.
Just got this feeling, Tony, we're going to hear an awful lot more about this young lady as 2019 goes on.
I honestly think that, if we had a radio show of the year, that tonight is going to be up there.
Just chuck that one in, though. Still some tickets left. So, all you Newark listeners, you get hold of me, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I expect my phone to be going crazy because there's tickets left and we need the support.
I wondered why she was wearing that sandwich board.
And I think Radio Newark Sports sounds like we're sending Mr. Smith along.
I'll be there.
You'll be there, so
yes.
You can give us a good report on them.
I will be there in my Go Boom Boom hat.
Go Boom Boom. Tomorrow night, it's the turn of the Newark Community First Aid people to come in and tell us why they attend all the big sporting events and why we can't use a bucket and sponge with cold water anymore. So we're going to have a chat with them tomorrow night to find out all things first aid. We wish Nina the very best on Sunday. And as I say, I've just got that feeling we might be seeing an awful lot more of this young lady.
Oh, you will.
On the Newark Sporting. We will. I'm going to leave you with another legend. We've talked to one legend tonight, not you, Tony. We've talked to one legend. I'm going to leave you with another one. Coming up now, the great Mr. Doug Hall.